You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:15pm with Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount in the studio. We have National Hunt Racing from Lingfield and Southwell on Tuesday afternoon. We also have racing on the all-weather Tapeter at Newcastle. So three meetings to come. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is jockey Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, not so bad at all. Thank you very much. Good weekend to look back at. We're going to have a little bit of a look back at that using the questions in the Racing Post Monday jury, and then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's racing as well. First question, Paddy. What did you make of the Hennessy Gold Cup won by Native River?
Very good performance, as people would have seen, because I mean, I did the podcast for the race and I had my doubts about Native River just carrying that sort of weight, but I also alluded to the fact about this horse's attitude. You know, he's a real grinder. But I thought more so, yeah, fantastic performance by the horse, but fantastic performance by the jockey, I thought. Mark, yeah. You know, because Native River, he needed the jockey, both jockey and horse needed brave allies, you know. Brave partners. And that's what they had, because Dickie was very positive, very brave on him. But, you know, because they seemed to go a furious gallop and Native River was never far off it at all, and some of the others that were involved in the early fractions, you know, they didn't see it out nowhere near as well as the winner Native River. But great performance and a performance he'd always promised, but I thought it was going to be a real effort carrying that sort of weight, but it just shows the sort of guts that the horse has got, and that was great effort on the day.
Yeah, gutsy from the horse, brilliant from Richard Johnson, as you mentioned. If Thistle Crack were yours, would you now aim for the King George? I mean, he's 3 from 3 over fences, much better as well on Saturday. He looked pretty impressive, didn't he?
He did, and when I did the podcast with you, I said that I had a fair idea that they'd have schooled him at home, and this time they'd let him go on about his business, and that's what they did. It was just common sense, really. That's what they were going to do, and he was much more impressive. And I mean, you know, he obviously had a harder race than Cheltenham and Chepstow, but that's still, he was always well on top. But the biggest thing about this horse is how much he seems to relish jumping a fence. You know, it's amazing. When he sees a fence, all he wants to go and do is jump it. But as long as the more experience he gets, the more wiser he's going to get and how he approaches that, because he can't attack every fence of that and be as enthusiastic, because, you know, when competition, the level of competition is stepped up, he could get caught out somewhere just by making a silly error. But, you know, as long as he keeps progressing and learning mentally along the way, he's going to be so, so high class, because he's got so much scope, he's got gears, he's the all-round package.
He's currently 6-1 for the King George the Sixth Chase. Q Card is the 6-4 favourite in that market. Duvan 4-1, 5-1 Coney Gree, Thistle Crack 6s, 7-1 Valsalido, Vroom Vroom Mag also 7-1, and it's 20-1 bar those. Just in terms of the Gold Cup betting as well, I just want to mention this before we move on to the third question. Colin Tizard has got an unbelievably strong hand. Thistle Crack 130 at the top of the market. Q Card is 5-1, and he's also got Native River in there at 14-1. So he's got a real strong hand in there. Third question is about Colin Tizard. He's now around about 4-1 for the trainer's title. Do you think he's got a chance?
Well, obviously, trainer's title's on money, isn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah, he's got a great chance, because he's not going to have the firepower that your other guys are going to have for the day-to-day stuff. And plus, he's probably a little bit more, he's got the mindset of an old-fashioned type of trainer, where he likes to give his horses enough time in between runs. And, you know, he's not the type of fella that will turn one out quickly with a penalty, because he just seems a bit more traditional that way. So, but the recruits he's got on his hand, he's obviously going to be aimed at big pots, you know, because he's got so many Saturday horses now. So, I mean, look, it would be a great achievement. I wouldn't be backing him myself at 4-1, but I certainly wouldn't dismiss him straight away either, if you know what I mean. But because it's done on prize money, he's going to land some big pots, isn't he? Because he's lucky enough now to have so many Saturday horses in his care.
Yeah. He's got three of the best staying chasers, so those big pots are going his way more often than not at the moment. Paul Nichols 1-6 in that market, 4-1 Colin Tizard, 10-1 Willie Mullins, 20-1 bigger for the others. Fourth question, did we see a successor to Thistle Crack in the long distance hurdle?
Yeah, very smooth performance. I just think that probably the long distance hurdle grade this year has obviously been weakened and maybe slightly diluted. So from what we've seen from, you know what I mean, Harry, he was by no means pressed in any way. I was disappointed that the Irish horse did fall in the straight. I think he would have put it up to him a bit, and then we could have had a stronger opinion on Harry Fry's horse now. But yeah, certainly, Mark, from what we've seen at the weekend, it's very hard to knock him. And I think literally from the second last home, he was only doing the bare minimum, and he's won with plenty in hand. So yeah, I think he's certainly the top of that lot for now.
Okay, 14-4-1 favourite in the market for the World Hurdle at the moment. You know what I mean, Harry. Shortened into 5-1 now, second favourite for the race. Nichols Canyon 6-1, 8-1 Yanworth, Jesky 14s, Shane's Hill 14s, Snow Falcon, it was the Irish horse that came down when travelling well in the long walk hurdle, is 14-1 as well, and 16-1 are bigger prices for the others. Give us one or two to follow away from the bright lights, please, Paddy.
I mean, that's a difficult question, really. I mean, I suppose I can only really say horses that I'm riding. I've got a pretty good chance tomorrow at Newcastle in the 4:50, I'm pretty sure, Canford Bell, 7 furlongs tomorrow. And I got beaten at Wolverhampton last time to finish second, but I was sort of a victim of my draw, really, because although I did have a good draw on paper, when you're drawing low, you've got to go forward and hold that draw. And really, I've made too much use of her, because I didn't really want that. I'd have been better off drawing in the middle somewhere, just get a buck seat. But drawing one, I've had to go forward, and I ended up running out of gas on top of the line and I got collared. But 7 furlongs tomorrow is as far as she wants to go, but it's on a straight 7. It'd be less complicated ride, but she's been knocking on the door and she's been getting chin now the last few times she's ran out. But I think she'll go close tomorrow.
All right, that's Canford Bell in the 4:50 at Newcastle on Tuesday then. Hopefully a winner for Paddy. And the final question, who catches your eye in next week's big races at Sandown and Aintree?
Well, I do think it is highlighted here in the Monday jury about Gary Moore's too, if the ground comes up soft with Sarda Grugy and Armad, because obviously we've seen them round Sandown. They really do come to life round there. And, yeah, and you know, the old horse, he didn't half come back to life and put in a great performance round Ascot. But and we've seen Armad, he's frightening round there when he's on song, going right-handed. He's a hell of a good horse. But it just depends, because we've got a real mixed bag in the forecast this week. So it just depends what ground we end up with.
Yeah. Either way, looks like we're set for another big weekend of racing. That's the Monday jury for another week. Anything else on your mind, Paddy, or should we get stuck into Tuesday's action?
No, I was just saying to Gordy next door earlier on, I felt very sorry for Trevor Whelan. He got a big ban yesterday at Leicester. I mean, look, I'm not justifying horses not trying their best, but, you know, we see it day in, day out, horses that are held up, you know, and even go forward when tactics are changed. And that he was a victim of that yesterday, where a free-running horse who'd been going from the front end and hadn't been getting home, they'd done the complete opposite yesterday and dropped him in off a good gallop. And he ran real well and finished his race off strongly, but because they were trying to get the horse to settle and relax, he's caught the steward's eye and he's ended up, he's copped a 16-day ban. The trainer got fined $3,500. And the horse won't be allowed to run till mid-January. You've got 40 days. So I thought it was very, very... Look, I know the stewards have a job to do, but as an awful lot of people will say, consistency is the key. Yesterday, I thought it was a very a big, big overreaction.
Let's move on to Tuesday's racing then. We've got four races that Paddy has prepared for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll go through these in time order. We start in the 12:25 at Southwell. This is a Class 4 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. We've got a field of 10 to go to post with this one. We'll start with Salto Chisco, if we may, Paddy. What do you make of the chances of the Harry Whittington horse, who's won two of his last four outings?
Yeah, he's certainly going the right way, this eight-year-old for Harry Whittington. It's a yard for me. They just haven't hit the ground running just yet. We've seen he was building up his profile all last season as a real trainer on the up, trainer to follow. But so far, I mean, his horse has been doing okay, but we haven't really seen him on a Saturday yet or with any of his better ones. But I think he's had a bit of bad luck as well along the way, losing one or two. But this chap has certainly done nothing wrong. But, I mean, I was taking a little bit of a risk, I thought, going for Neil Mulholland's Ballydeg Lady, because she's only been winning sort of in small fields and only been winning sort of around Worcester and then around Warwick the last day, and certainly looked an unlikely winner around Warwick the last day all of the way, really, but just showed her attitude and grit, really, and finished off. Although, like I said, it was only three runners, but I think she'd be a lot more suited to just a nice flat galloping track like Suttle tomorrow. And one thing you just can't fault is the attitude. And although there's not much between the whole field, really, at the weights, because, you know, top weight 11, 12, and there's 10 runners and bottom weights in there off 11 stones. So there's not a great deal there, but we need the meeting to pass an inspection because it's due to be very, very cold tonight. So hopefully it does. But no, Ballydeg Lady for Neil Mulholland to have a little bit better luck. He's had a bad day at Plumpton, but hopefully a little bit better luck at Suttle there in the opener.
Ballydeg Lady then in the opener at Southwell for Paddy. Make a note, as Paddy mentioned there is a 7:30 a.m. inspection at Southwell. On to Newcastle next. Hopefully there'll be no inspections there with it being an all-weather track. 220 is the first race we look at on their card. This is Division 1 of this particular Class 5 handicap, over a mile and a quarter. We've got a field of 9 to go to post here, and you're in action here, Paddy, as well.
Yeah, Mascoon. I rode him last time at Chelmsford. Was a little bit slow away and didn't have a great position most of the way, and didn't actually run too bad in the end, but it sort of rolled to me that night like he was going to need a little bit of racing just to get him back fit again, to be honest. But he's a nice bonny little horse, and I'm sure he'll be winning races. He's shown plenty of form in Ireland, but tomorrow I didn't think maybe would be his day. But keep an eye on him. The one I did like was Carmen Tintock's Tail Picks, because he's got a good record round Newcastle, this horse, and they've had a few quid on him, and they've got the fingers burned once or twice, but in general he's been doing okay. He's 2 from 5 at the track. The one thing I would say here is dropping back to a mile and a quarter, he's going to need a bit of pace on up front, because even over a mile and a half they've been riding him reasonably positive. So if the fractions are slow, that could be his undoing tomorrow, but hopefully if there's something there that will roll along, I could see this chap following up again.
Okay, so Paddy's on Mascoon, Tao picks the most likely winner then, perhaps in the 220 at Newcastle. The 240 at Lingfield is where we go next. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles. We've got a field of 10 set to go to post for this one. And where do you want to start in there, Paddy?
The one I liked here, Mark, was down near the foot of the weights, was third act for Colin Tizzard's team. Like I say, certainly wouldn't be one of the yard's better ones, but does try and is fairly consistent. Won last time. It's up to a mark of 110 now, but Paul O'Brien rides and takes a handy £5 off her back, but stable are flying along. The ground is going to be typical Lingfield. It's going to be very, very deep there tomorrow, but been running, racing on better ground just recently, but has won in heavy in the past, so I wouldn't really let that put me off. And the fact that he is going to be carrying a lovely weight of 10 stone 6 with Paul's 5 off, I think will really help with conditions being as they are tomorrow, and yard are flying along great guns. So I thought he does try, he's very consistent and got a good chance there at 240 at Lingfield, Mark.
Third act then, the choice for Paddy in the 240 at Lingfield, and the final race that we look at is the 310 at Lingfield. This one is a Class 3 veterans handicap over 2.5 miles, 7 of them to go to post for this one, Paddy. Which of the old boys do you like here?
This was a trappy one, to be honest, Mark, because you have got some good old boys here, and you know, but these are great races, these, because it just gives horses that are been at the top of their mark for years and just banging their head off a brick wall, it gives them a chance to get their head back in front. And it took me a while to see where the pin was going to drop here, because you know, a few of these are, they've just been struggling a little bit recently, and like I say, conditions are going to be grueling. But the one I ended up on was Charlie Mann's horse, Cody Wyoming, because he is off a mark of 120, and his last winning mark was 113, but simply because there was so little between them. He's got plenty of form on soft. Dar Jacob Rides, who we've seen at a great weekend up at Newcastle on Saturday, and he's already been on the score sheet a couple of times at Plumpton this afternoon. And he got the slight edge in what was a trappy race, but nonetheless a very, very competitive one.
Yeah, it is a wide open race, that one. Cody Wyoming, the selection for Paddy there. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary, Paddy, before you go, if you wouldn't mind. Just confirm your selections for us then.
Yeah, in the first at Sulla, the 12:25, I went with Neil Mulholland's Ballydeg Lady. One last time, actually carried top weight to victory, and because of the margin of victory that day, a handicapper has only put him up a pound. And although has won in small fields the last twice, I think this track will suit better, and the handicappers maybe just give her a chance to sneak another one in. In the 2:20 at Newcastle, I went for Cara McClintock's Tail Picks. Graham Lee Rides, he's got a good record in this horse, and this horse has got a good course record as well. He is up to a mark of 61 now, does stay further, so you want a bit of pace on up front, but I think if he gets that, he'll take a bit of beating around there tomorrow. In the 2:40 at Lingfield, I went for Colin Tizzard's Third Act. He was a last time out winner. Handicappers put him up to a mark of 110, but Paul O'Brien offsets £5 of that. But stable are rolling along real good. I think it will cope with the bad ground. Like I said, has been running, racing on better ground just recently, but has got form on heavy in the past, so I wouldn't really let that put me off, but is consistent and does try. And then the last one was the 3:10 at Lingfield in the Veterans Chase. I went for Charlie Mann's Cody Wyoming. He is up to a mark of 120. His highest ever win in Mar previous had been 113, but he will go on the ground. Darrell Jacob Rides, but it was a trappy contest, but he was the one that just got the nod there.
Superb. Thank you very much, Paddy. Good luck, and all the best at Newcastle as well on Tuesday.
Good man, thanks.
There you go, the thoughts of Paddy Aswell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:15 PM. Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount will be the team in the studio. It's Lingfield and Southwell over the obstacles and all weather racing on the Tapeter at Newcastle. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.